The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It's great to be with you on another week of broadcasting here at KPCG, the live signal that just covers North Edmond in Oklahoma City, or north of Oklahoma City. And, of course, the live stream goes out all over the world. You can get to that stream at the trumpet.com website. You can go to the kpcg.fm website as well. Over the weekend, we played a TV program. We finally taped a new program after a couple of months off for the UK here, and it was on the subject of not being afraid in these terrifying times that we're living in. Be Not Afraid was the title, and we brought in 159 responses or requests for the literature. I think we offered the Ezekiel booklet, and I forget which other one we offered. So in any event, it's great to get back into the studio, even though it was probably the hottest it's ever been in the TV studio. It was right at the tail end of that heat wave. Now it's just beautiful here at Edstone. We've gotten lots of rain the last few days, so that's been really good for all the grass in particular. Everything's looking beautiful and green once again. It just takes a day or two, and you really see everything come to life. Well, over the weekend was the 75th anniversary of victory in Japan, or over Japan. And I think it was at the Times, the Sunday Times, yes, Rod Little, who said that there's just this growing trend towards seeing World War II as a battle between two equally monstrous groups. You know, there's a lot of fault on both sides. In fact, the modern historian, in a lot of ways, is leaning in the direction of supporting the authoritarians, the tyranny. This is from Rod Little's column. He says, every year that goes by, our grip on the realities of history seem to diminish, and the Second World War is reduced in the imaginations of the truly ignorant to a square up between two blocks of equal malignance. You know, there's evil on both sides. It says, this view of history, of reality, is so berserk as to be almost beyond belief. History is stripped of its context and perspective and instead marshaled into an assault on people who were, like it or not, the good guys. We take the history and we use it to lead the way in assaulting ourselves. So much self-hatred. Using the history to pummel ourselves, to tell the world how evil we are. To tell the world everything that's wrong with the United States, everything that's wrong with Great Britain. And of course, it's just these two nations, for the most part, that are singled out. And we've been talking about this at length on this show in recent weeks. Jesus said, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. Take heed. Look at how quickly that light, what little light we had, just turns to darkness. It turns to blindness. And we can't see anything. He says to view the history this way is almost beyond belief. We're going to rise in defense of the Japanese Empire or Hitler's National Socialism, Nazi tyranny. To think of the sacrifices that so many of our young boys, 18 years old, some even younger than that, fighting for the freedoms that we've come to take for granted. The prophet Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. How quickly that light can turn to darkness. Woe unto them who call evil good. Look at what the commentators are doing with what's happening to American cities. Here they've gone up in flames in some cases, or now they're boarded up. Now Antifa is just roaming the streets. And you listen to the news media, and it's as if they think it's a modern utopia in these big cities. There was a video image on Twitter that I didn't even bring it as a clip. This poor man that drove his truck. I don't know if the lady in his car was his mother or she was a relative of some sort, just distraught at what was happening as they dragged this man out of the cab of his truck and made him sit on the street. Anytime that he got up, they would just start pounding on him. And then one guy came over finally and kicked him in the face, and he knocked him out again. And the woman, the relative, she's inconsolable. But then you watch the progression of what happened here. Then the police show up to haul away this guy's truck that was in the middle of the road. And these same protesters, the ones guilty of the crime, these same protesters are still there at the street. They didn't disperse. They didn't run away when the police showed up. Instead, they started screaming at the police, saying that you're responsible for protecting white supremacists. And the police, of course, they just had to stand there and take it. They couldn't say a word in response. They just carried on with their responsibility to make sure that the tow truck could get in there and get rid of the car. This is Portland, Oregon. This is where Herbert Armstrong was converted to the truth. This is a city that's never going to be the same. And yet the commentators would get up and say, everything's just perfect in these communities. There's a proverb that says, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are abomination to the eternal. They're both an abomination. To justify the wicked or to go and condemn the just. To condemn the one that's in the right. It's happening all the time. Portland, up in Seattle. Here are protesters roaming the streets. Now they're moving into the residential areas. It's not enough to bash up the shopping districts. Now they're walking through the residential areas, and they're telling white people to get out of their homes. Here's clip one.
Whichever one it is, give up your house, give black people back their homes. They're sitting there comfortable, and they're not even helped gentrify this neighborhood.
I used to live in this neighborhood.
But I used to live in this neighborhood. I grew up here, and my family was pushed out. Yeah. And you're sitting up there having a good time with your other white friends.
You're sitting up there having a good time with your other white friends. These are just people in their apartments or their homes. And here comes the mob shouting them down. How much longer before some of these homes are going to go up in flames? How much longer before there's just open gunfire in the streets, one side against the other? I think we saw a little bit of a glimpse of it. I forget where it was. Michigan? Where you have the ones coming out in support of law enforcement, the police, or in support of Donald Trump. And they're going at it. Right now, it's just with fists. But what happens when the weapons show up? Well, they have shown up already in a few cases. God says in Malachi 2, verse 17, you have wearied the Eternal with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Eternal. This wearies God. God is tired. He is weary from this. You're going to call evil good? Is this God's world? I just started in on lesson 4 of the correspondence course. It's about the wonderful world of tomorrow. And last week, I drew attention to just the stark contrast, that there was between SEP, life at God's camp a few weeks ago, and life in the world today, life in the cities today. They had some protests in Hugo, Minnesota over the weekend as well. This is a suburb of Minneapolis, as I understand it. And listen to the, listen to this group. Listen to this man outside of the home of a white family. And I'll tell you a little bit more about the details of these people in just a second. But here's clip two.
I'm a black man being terrorized by this Klansman right here. We are terrorized by the Grand Wizard. Y'all got the Grand Wizard living in your neighborhood. All the Klan exists in Hugo, Minnesota. And it's right here. Don't run now. Don't run now, racist white people. I'm here.
Now, that's in Hugo, Minnesota, and this protester, if you can call him that, he was calling for protesters to burn down the city of Hugo. Burn it down! Now, he is a Democrat running for the state house in Minnesota. He won the Democrat primary. Okay, so he has a chance to be a lawmaker in the Minnesota state legislature. He's outside of the home of the Minneapolis Police Federation president, a man named Bob Kroll. So here he's the head of the police, and you heard the man yourself. He's saying he's the Mr. Kroll, that is a member of the KKK. He's the Grand Wizard. So he's outside of the home. The crowd loves it. The crowd loves it. Here he's outside the home of a police officer, and this man could soon be your new representative in whatever district he's in Minneapolis or Minnesota. Another protester said, here in Hugo, Minnesota, I'm going to take a wild guess and take it you don't have to fear for your life as much as you do in Minneapolis with Bob Kroll and his gang of thugs hunting down black and brown bodies like they're getting paid for it. Because they are. This is just a peaceful protest outside the home of the Kroll family in Hugo, Minnesota. This was from the local reporting, KSTP. I think this is Channel 5 in Minneapolis. This is how they reported on this. Protesters and community leaders have accused Kroll of fostering a toxic culture within the Minneapolis Police Department, and calls for his resignation have grown since George Floyd's death in police custody on May 25th. KSTP has reached out to the Police Federation for a response, but has not heard back as of Saturday evening. So the story, four, maybe five, this is the local reporting. You know, he's been accused of this. They're asking for him to step down. We tried to get a response from him, didn't get anything. And so let's carry on to the next story. Meanwhile, this black Democrat is outside his home screaming at this family, screaming in the neighborhood that he is the Grand Wizard of the KKK. Somehow that goes missing from the coverage. Are the media really reporting the truth? Are they even concerned about the truth, whether it's the national or the local? In a lot of cases, there's obviously some exceptions. But I can't believe people in that studio, the local studio in Minneapolis, wouldn't just be shocked and appalled at what's happening on the streets. He's calling for people to burn down the city of Hugo. And he's just a good Democrat running for office. Now, we tried to get a response from the police, but nothing came in yet. Anyway, back to you, Bob. The police are the bad guys. The ones kicking men unconscious in Portland, they're the good guys. In fact, the man who attacked that guy in the truck, he sees himself as Antifa's security guard. Well, one of them. He's a security guard. The one that kicked the man unconscious on the spot for whatever he did. I guess he drove into Antifa. Not into the crowd, but he probably took a wrong turn. And of course, he's white. So he's guilty of something. So he's pulled out of the cab. He's beaten unconscious. The police show up to haul away his vehicle. The protesters shout at the police saying that they're there to protect white supremacists. Then you've got the protester in Hugo, Minnesota, running for office in Minnesota, running for office, accusing that police chief or the head of that federation, accusing him of being the grand wizard of the KKK. This is what Attorney General Barr said last week about law enforcement. You're not hearing this from local reports. You don't hear the media stand up for these law enforcement officials. Instead, they're being shouted down from every direction, except perhaps from the Trump administration. That's about it. Well, there's a silent majority, too, and they are furious looking at these scenes and then being told that everything's peaceful. Here's what A.G. Barr said last week, clip 3.
Being a police officer is the hardest job in the United States. We're asking people to go into very dangerous situations, to have jobs that are terribly wearing on them as individuals and on their families, to go into potentially deadly situations, not knowing what will happen. And we have to continue to attract the best people into these jobs. And unless we support the police, we're not going to have a police force. These communities are not going to have the safety.
There's not going to be safety. It's just going to be anarchy. And I think some would argue that it's already past the point of no return. I mean, are they going to be able to regain control of these cities without having the media pounce on them? These agitators, they're trying to provoke a response from the police in a lot of cases. Because they know, they've got the mainstream, the media reporting, even at the local levels. They know they're on the side of the radical left. Over the weekend, there were 30 shootings in New York City. 49 people wounded, 5 killed in these incidents, 30 shooting incidents. 5 people killed. Shooting victims are up 100% in New York City over this same period from last year. So it's doubled. And mostly because of what's happened in the last 2.5 months. The New York Post ran an editorial over the weekend. We need someone to run for mayor who will save New York. You go back to the beginning of Bill de Blasio's his position as mayor, and the murder rate was just plummeting. I mean, there were actually some pretty good mayors before de Blasio came along. And crime was decreasing. That's turned right around. Now you see Manhattan, blocks and blocks and blocks of Manhattan, boarded up. This is some footage from someone on Twitter. You don't see it on the major news media channels. It's hardly every single store just boarded up. And look, we're in the early part of August when this footage was taken. August 7th, so last week. This is right through downtown Manhattan. It's looking like a war zone, like an explosion went off, an explosion like Beirut, except there was no bomb. It's just an explosion of mobs roaming the streets, smashing the windows, looting the stores. How many of those stores are not going to reopen? How many of those stores will never come back? It's New York City. Now, New York City, Manhattan, some would say that's the media capital of the world. So this is right in their backyard, including Fox News. Fox News, the New York Times, that's the paper of record. Warner Media owns CNN. They've got a big New York office as well. Wall Street Journal. And this is their city. I was telling Sam this morning, I can't believe this isn't featured every single night on Fox News. Is this what you want? Is this what New Yorkers want? Is this what Americans want for their city? This is New York today. And yet, how much reporting is there? Even on the destruction. Even after it dies down, the mob leaves, and you see the destruction, and you see the boards. You see the boards even in mid-August. And then the mobs continue to roam in Portland, in Seattle. Proverbs 28:4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. How many law keepers are there these days to even contend with these thugs? To even stand up for what's right? Where does this fit into Bible prophecy? Well, read Genesis 6. See how God described that society before the flood. Read it. And then go into the Gospels and see what Jesus said it would be like in the last days. Just like in the days of Noah. Lawlessness from top to bottom. Thugs terrorizing our streets. And media types praising them for being heroic. What was it Kamala Harris said? This group that she took, or rather that she's praising, these groups, these mobs, these riots. Over the weekend, the Police Benevolent Association in New York City, the PBA, it came out publicly and endorsed President Trump. Listen to the head of the PBA, clip 4.
I cannot remember when we've ever endorsed for the office of President of the United States until now. That's how important this is. Mr. President, we're fighting for our lives out there. We don't want this to spread to the rest of the country. We need your strong voice across the country.
Now, what you didn't hear in that clip was that man explaining that he's been in with the police for 30-some years, and he can't remember, he cannot remember the PBA ever coming out in support of one political candidate over the other until this year. These are people who are fed up. These are people who are looking at the streets of America and saying, this is what the radical left wants. This is Joe Biden's America. Here he is coming out in support of Donald Trump, the one everyone in the news media absolutely hates. This was the tweeted statement from this this PBA organization. The reasons aren't complicated, why they're supporting Donald Trump, that is. Our city politicians have demonized us at every turn and in the process stripped us of necessary tools to get guns off the streets. When cops are left handling crime with a light touch, violent gangs step into the void and rain terror on New Yorkers. Well, it's getting so bad that some, and again, these are Republicans, so maybe it's wishful thinking on their part, but you have the president himself saying New York is up for grabs. New York is a deep, dark blue state. Donald Trump, of course, comes from New York. But he feels like this state is in play this November because of the mayhem, because of the anarchy, because of the draconian restrictions put upon New Yorkers in response to the coronavirus. Everything's been politicized. Everything's being used to attack conservatives. This was President Trump in a speech that he gave on Saturday, clip 5.
I think that we're doing very well. We're on our way, and we're also opening up our economy, and our economy is going to set records. And if stupid people aren't elected next year, we're going to have one of the greatest years that we've ever had.
So there's the president being his typical blunt self. If you elect the wrong people, look at where we're headed. You may have seen some stories. Again, the media, they try to cover this up as well, but the stories of these cities where there's a harbor and all these boats show up in support of the Trump administration. One of them, I forget which city it was in, but they tried to set a Guinness Book of World Records, the most boats to ever show up in support of this this movement, a parade of boats. And the president finally came out and responded to this enthusiastic support. He said this over the weekend, clip six.
I appreciate the voters for Trump. Every weekend, I see it. Not even weekends now. They're doing it during the week. Looks like you're having a good time. I just want to thank everybody. I see that, and the whole world is watching. And you people are fantastic. Your spirit, your strength, and you get it. You know what you're doing. So, and the big thing is November 3rd, get out and vote. We can't let the radical left take over this country. They'll raise your taxes by 3 to 4 times. These people are crazy, and we have to stop them. Thank you very much.
That's a message from the president. These people, the radical left, are crazy. I talked on Friday's program about how desperate they are to grab hold of power. Or like my father has said, they'll do anything. They'll do anything to attain power. I gave you that quote from Great Again, where Barack Obama was lamenting the principles of the Constitution, where he said, my father wrote in the booklet, it aims to restrain despotism. Well, let me just back up and give you the quote from Barack Obama, who said that the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. It says what the states can't do to you. It says what the federal government can't do to you, but doesn't say what the federal government or state government must do on your behalf. So these radical left governments, they are taking radical actions, telling you what you must do, telling the police what they must not do. Well, a lot of that evil is being exposed. It's being exposed because people have eyes to see. Even still, as I say, I'm surprised that Fox News, right there in Manhattan, that they wouldn't have more on what's happened to that city. I suppose there was some coverage when, you know, the rioting was happening weeks ago. But it dies down and everyone moves on, and yet Minneapolis is boarded up and burned down. New York City's boarded up. They're going to be boarding up Chicago now. It's being exposed on the national level. You had the big announcement Friday, and again, the media will downplay this with their whole heart. This announcement from John Durham that they have a guilty plea, I guess, from Kevin Kleinsmith. I'll get to him in just a second. Let me take you first to something that the Attorney General said last week before this announcement that Kleinsmith had altered this email and lied to the FISA court, and now he's been caught. And there was an indictment against him, and evidently he's said that he's going to plead guilty. In any event, before that was even announced on Friday, Mr. Barr was asked, I believe this was on Sean Hannity's show, and Hannity said, you know, there's Americans that are worried that we're descending into a two-tiered justice system. Are they right to be worried? And here's how the Attorney General responded, clip seven.
No, I think it's the right worry, and it's the reason I came back into government. We can't let it happen. But here's the thing, Sean. The way out of this, the way out of the politicization and the corruption of the justice system, where it's used as a political weapon by one party against another, is not to deliver tit for tat. It's not to use the tactics of the other side. It's to uphold the rule of law, use the right standard. And that's what I'm trying to do.
That's what he's trying to do. And in that same interview, he talked about, you know, how that there's going to be an announcement tomorrow. He indicated that it wasn't a huge development in the Durham case, but it was nevertheless a development. And that would be the announcement about Kevin Kleinsmith. Now, he's the one, as I say, who doctored the email. He presented that fake evidence to a judge. He lied to the FISA court. An open, blatant lie. He's also the one who texted, Viva la Resistance. after Donald Trump won the election. In other words, we're going to do everything we can to resist him. He also tweeted, or texted, I should say, after the election. He said this to a coworker: "I'm just devastated. Plus, my name is all over the legal documents investigating his staff." I mean, he knew he was corrupt. He knew he was breaking laws. And he was devastated that Trump won. And he admitted to his friend, "I left my name all over it. Yeah, my fingerprints are all over the evidence." So Durham files charges against him. He, again, Kleinsmith isn't the name. You know, it doesn't have the recognition that Comey and Brennan and Clapper and McCabe and Strzok and Page. But he was a pretty significant player in all of this corruption, in all of this lawlessness, in this treasonous attempt to bring down the president of the United States. And even if you argue that it's not as significant as it should be, well, the attorney general said on Thursday night that it's not a huge development, indicating that there may be some huge developments later. Let's hope that there are. If he's, again, he pleads guilty, I suppose that will reduce his sentence to some degree, but he could go to jail for years. And keep in mind, this is an actual crime that was committed here. There's evidence. I read the brief, it's just 5 pages this morning, John Durham's brief, as he summarized all that happened and the corruption. It wasn't just Kleinsmith. This is paragraph 5. He says, on August 17th, 2016, prior to the approval of FISA number 1, FISA 1, 2, and 3 left off the detail that Carter Page had worked for the CIA and he had been cooperative for years. He had helped the CIA. So they left that off of FISA 1, 2, 3, and then FISA 4 was applied for. I think that's late 2017. So by then, more information is being made known to the public, and they felt compelled, the Mueller team was responsible for filing that fourth FISA application to spy on Carter Page. So they felt like they had to include more information. So they contacted the CIA to make sure, Kleinsmith did, just to make sure that that Page didn't work for a government agency. And the individual responded back and said, well, actually, he did work for a government agency. So Kleinsmith decided to erase that, to delete that comment, and to actually indicate that the email he got back from CIA said that he never was a source. And then they took that into the FISA for number 4. But listen to this statement from Durham's, whatever this would be called, his court filing, I guess. August 17, 2016, prior to approval of FISA 1, the OGA provided, that's other government agencies, the OGA provided certain members, plural, of the Crossfire Hurricane team a memorandum, this is from August 17, 2016, indicating that individual one, that would be Carter Page, had been approved as an operational contact for the OGA from 2008 to 2013. So Page worked for the CIA, basically. And detailing information that Individual One had provided to the OGA concerning Individual One's prior contacts with Russian intelligence officers. It says the first 3 FISA applications did not include Individual One's history or status with the OGA, even though certain members of Crossfire Hurricane had received that memorandum August 17th, 2016. So it's left out of the first 3 applications. And then it was just an audacious, blatant, bald-faced lie on the 4th application. This is what they got Kevin Kleinsmith on. Kleinsmith was brought on. He's an attorney. But he was brought on to the FBI, or I guess he had an office in the FBI building in D.C. But he was brought on in 2015, which is interesting. I think it was like 3-4 weeks after Donald Trump came down the escalator. Now, I'm not insinuating that perhaps it was, you know, something he was going to be looking into right away, but there's no doubting his hatred, his rage, his hatred for this president, for the Trump campaign. So he's an in-house lawyer for the FBI. And then when Mueller's team is arranged, following, you know, the setup from Jim Comey in the middle part of 2017, then he's one of the angry lawyers that's on Mueller's team. The ones trying to take down the president of the United States. Keep in mind, through all of this history, it's just 4 years or so, they never found one person, not one single American, colluded with Russia. And yet you have individuals like Kleinsmith getting away with lying to a court, a federal court. Well, he's not getting away with it. How many others, though, have gotten away with crimes? Listen to Molly Hemingway talking about the media and how they've tried to cover up this story. Since it was announced on Friday, they've tried to cover it up or to downplay it, say that, well, it's a tiny, tiny little crime. It doesn't really amount to much. Nothing really to see here. Here's Molly Hemingway from the other night, clip 20.
It is so rare for anyone affiliated with the FBI to actually be held accountable for something like this. So it really speaks to how serious of a problem it was and how much they had the goods on him. And, you know, when every little thing was dripped out by the media for years, claiming that there was this collusion between the Trump administration and Russia, now that we actually have our first example here of criminal wrongdoing, the media are kind of downplaying it and acting like it's not a big deal. And that's understandable because they were implicated in this as well. In fact, they were some of the worst offenders in perpetrating this collusion hoax on the American people. The last thing that they want is for anyone to be held accountable. And they're trying to make sure that this story goes away as quickly as possible.
These were some of the worst offenders. They were implicated in this as well. Think about the coverage. For years, we heard the Trump people are corrupt. They're committing crimes. They're colluding with Vladimir Putin. And how eager and hopeful the media were to run with those stories, which were lies. And now you have the first case of criminal wrongdoing, and they're totally disinterested. They're not interested one bit. Listen to President Trump from last week. This is what he had to say about this ongoing investigation and how high the corruption and the wrongdoing went. Clip 8.
The fact is, this was President Obama knew everything. Vice President Biden, as dumb as he may be, he knew everything. And everybody else knew everything, Maria, and you know it. And Comey and Brennan and Clapper, they all were terrible, and they lied to Congress, and they want to put Flynn in jail, and he didn't lie because the FBI said he didn't lie, and we spied on my campaign, which is treason. They spied both before and after I won. It's the single biggest political crime in the history of our country, and I hope they're doing a job. I hope they're not going to be politically correct and say, well, you know, we want to go just get, let's get the lower guys that forged the documents going into FISA. Let's just get a couple of the lower guys. I hope they're not going to be, Bill Barr can go down as the greatest attorney general in the history of our country, or he can go down as just an average guy. It depends on what's going to happen.
It depends on what's going to happen. That's certainly the truth. I suppose the president would view this as, again, one of the lower guys. He was actually involved in forging the documents. But was he operating alone? He's in there with those other angry Democrats on Mueller's team. What a scandal. What a scandal. Spying on that campaign. Spying on fellow Americans. Using these government agencies to try to destroy people. To try to destroy people's lives. And here we have the first case of criminal wrongdoing, lying to a federal court to try to get someone to try to go after your political opponent. That's why they wanted to spy on Carter Page. They were spying on all these people. And again, not one American guilty of colluding with Russia. There was no there ever. Here's the real story, which is why you're not going to hear it except coming from a few sources. When we come back, we'll continue with our study from Friday on the importance of producing fruit and really growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email feedback, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
I mentioned the contrast that really stands out in going through lesson four of the correspondence course. When you look at the cities of today, particularly in the United States, and compare them with the cities described in the world tomorrow, here the radical left would like for you to believe that if they can just overturn the system or bring down the system, then they can set up their utopia, their vision of tomorrow. Carolyn Glick tweeted this out a few days ago. This is the left in Israel, she wrote, and probably everywhere else. They worship power. Their utopia is telling everyone what to think and how to live in the name of democracy or equality. That's their utopia. Their utopia is telling everyone how to think, telling everyone what to do. Put on the mask, take off the mask, socially distance, shut down the economy, print more money. And yet look at what's happening. Look, we have eyes to see. Look at our cities. Look at Washington. Look at government. Then contrast it with the wonderful world tomorrow. I love the point lesson four makes about God, you know, men have been seeking after utopia for 6,000 years, but only God has the wisdom and the power to make utopia a reality. Only God can bring a utopia to this earth. Only the God family can set up and establish utopia on earth. And it is coming. Look at how it's described in Zechariah 8. It says, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, it says, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Cities filled with children playing in the streets. You can't imagine this happening today, but it's coming to the wonderful world of tomorrow. Ezekiel 36 and verse 35. It says, "And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited." All of these cities, desolate, ruined cities, to be inhabited again. And then finally, Isaiah 27 and verse 6. These are all verses taken out from lesson 4. But it says here, "He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit." God's going to regather the Israelite nations, the Israelite people, after they've been scattered into slavery. He'll regather them and establish them. And notice the emphasis on fruit there. God's always meant for Israel to be an example to this world, to let their light shine to this world. And for a time, here are nations, they took pride in what the empire was able to accomplish, or how the United States was able to lead the world. Not that we were righteous through and through, but look at the evil that's taken hold of our nations. And those in the ruling class saying that all of that evil is good, it's a good thing. There's coming a time when the Israelite nations will be the example that God always meant for them to be, and they're going to produce fruit. Fill the face of the world with fruit. Growth. God's way. The verse I gave you Friday, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, it says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Those of us today in God's true church, we're obviously not living in God's world, not yet. We're living in a Sodom and Gomorrah type world. We're living in the world before the flood. It's just a little more advanced, and the population's a little bit bigger, but the same human nature is there, and the earth is filled with violence. Our thoughts, our hearts are on evil continually, Genesis 6 says. That has been man's record. And even in the midst of that dark and evil world, a true Christian is expected to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in godly knowledge. Study God's truth. Put it into practice. Put it into practice in your individual life. And then grow in character. That's what it means to grow in grace. Grow in the character that comes from God's Spirit dwelling in you. God's Spirit is the greatest gift that He could give to us. And He wants for us to use it, to submit to it, to be led by it, as it says in Romans 8, and to grow in all of those fruits listed off in Genesis, or rather Galatians 5. Character development. To build character, we've got to be a doer. We've got to put these principles, these laws, these truths that you hear about on this program or read about on the trumpet.com website, put them right into practice. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We've always got to be thinking about growing and improving, multiplying our efforts with God's help. 2 Peter 1, 3 says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby," verse 4 says, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." There's so much corruption in the world, and we need to escape from it. We need to run away from it and to receive this divine nature that comes into our minds through the process of conversion, repentance toward God, faith in Christ, the faith of Christ dwelling in us. And then by the laying on of hands, that spirit enters into our minds, and God can complete his creation, his spiritual creation, in you, in me. I don't have time to go through all the scriptures on this, but suffice it to say, once converted to the truth, we have to grow. We have to grow consistently. Verse 5, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence. Give all diligence to what? What should we really give all of our diligence to? Well, it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness agape love, godly love, God's love. Add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, godly love. Fill up on God's character, on God's nature, on the fruits of God's Spirit. Verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're filling up on these things, you'll lead a fruitful life. Quite unlike what we see happening in our world today. We'll be a fruitful Christian. Not someone who's just plateaued and thought, well, that's as far as I can go. I guess I can just kick back. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about spiritual drones in the church that weren't doing anything. They weren't doing their part. God wants us to bear a lot of fruit, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be fruitful in this knowledge. If these things be in you and abound, well, look at what it produces. Verse 9 says, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You forgot that we came into this church so that we could escape the corruption that's in the world. Don't return to those worldly ways. That's what Peter is saying here. Grow in God's way of life. Listen to this clip from Herbert Armstrong. This is from a sermon back in 1981, and it's not the easiest clip to hear, but we'll listen to this and then sign off. I think we have time for this. Clip, what is it, 20?
Now we're seeing what is going to happen after Christ has come and after he has put Satan away. And when Christ is sitting on the throne and ruling. But brethren, he's not going to rule alone by himself. He is raising up you and me, and we have to, where we're going to school, this is a temporary life. We're going to school to learn about Christ, to learn the Word of God. And here's the textbook. And we're to learn how to rule under Christ, and how to convert and save the world when God opens up the Holy Spirit to the whole world. And he will very soon now. And he's calling you and me to be able to teach them then. And we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How much are you growing in knowledge? Do you know more now than you did when I spoke here 3 years ago? Well, I do. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot since the first of this year. In my 90th year, I've learned a lot. How much are you learning every year? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you overcoming the ways that Satan got into you and the way of the world around you? You will never get into the kingdom of God unless you are, brethren. You're not already there. You're on trial. And we're coming to the time of final exams right now. We're getting very close to the time of the second coming of Christ. very, very close.
That's from Herbert Armstrong back in the early 1980s. As he said there, he's in his 90th year at the time of that message. And look at how much he was learning, even in his 90s. Look at how much he was growing. We have to grow. We're in college, so to speak. A teacher's college. We're going to school. Final exams are coming up. And we have to learn how to rule with Christ. We have to learn how to administer God's government. Because we have a hand in bringing and building a utopia on this earth. We are the builders of tomorrow. We are the leaders of tomorrow. We're the teachers of tomorrow. And to fill those positions, as he said there, we have to grow. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email feedback, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.